ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
My dear Lord, O infallible one, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. For example, the tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex with an attractive woman, and the sense of touch to contact with soft. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more, and the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to cinema songs. The sense of smell is attracted to yet another side, the restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification, and the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I am certainly embarrassed. Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The human life is meant for God realization, but this process, which begins with Shravanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is disturbed as long as our senses are materially attracted. Therefore, devotional service means purifying the senses. In the conditioned state, our senses are covered by material sense gratification, and as long as one is not trained in purifying the senses, one cannot become a devotee. In our Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, we advise from the very beginning that one restrict the activities of the senses, especially the tongue, which is described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as most greedy and unconquerable. To stop this attraction of the tongue, one is authoritatively advised not to accept meat or similar uneatable things, nor to allow the tongue to hanker to drink or smoke. Even the drinking of tea and coffee is not permitted. Similarly, the genitals must be restricted from illicit sex. Without such restraint of the senses, one cannot make advancement in Krishna consciousness. The only method of controlling the senses is to chant and hear the holy name of the Lord. Otherwise, one will always be disturbed, as a householder with more than one wife would be disturbed by them for sense gratification. This morning, we are continuing our reading of the prayers offered by Prahlad Maharaj to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his munificent form of Lord Narasimhadev. It is said, Mukam karoti bachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham bande sigurum dinataranam. That by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, even the most unqualified becomes qualified. Here Prahlad, who is only 5 years old, who had never studied the Vedas, who had never studied elevated philosophy of life, is speaking eloquently the highest, most consistent, undefeatable philosophy ever to be heard in the history of the world. How is this possible? While in the womb of his mother, in the most helpless and apparently unqualified material condition, he was given the blessing of his spiritual master. Srila Narada Muni. And simply on the basis of that blessing, hearing from his guru submissively with a desire to serve, Prahlad Maharaj here is performing what is humanly impossible. And factually, the path of bhakti is based on this principle. It is said in Bhagavad Gita, Ragadveshivimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaisharan Atma Vishaya Vidhayatma Prasadam Adigachchati. That one who follows the principles of devotion to the Lord under the guidance of the spiritual master, he attains the complete mercy of the Lord, and thus he is free from all attraction and aversion. So simply by attaining the mercy of the Lord, we can overcome all obstacles. Otherwise, this material nature is an impossible, unconquerable impediment in our spiritual lives. Without the mercy of the Lord, without surrendering to the Lord. There is an example that the mighty river flows. The Ganges flows from the peaks of the Himalayas, and it is constantly flowing without hindrance to Ganga Sagar, which is the Indian Ocean, Bay of Bengal. Now sometimes big, powerful, mighty elephants, the most powerful beings on earth, they go into the river, and because of the powerful waves, with all their strength, with all their huge size, they are washed away. Why? Because although they're the most powerful beings on earth, when they try to fight the current of the river, they are in a hopeless condition. And then there's the tiniest, smallest of fish. That tiniest, smallest of fish in the river can swim across stream, upstream, downstream, effortlessly. Why is that? What is the difference in strength between an elephant and a fish? That the elephant is defeated and the fish is free. Simply because the elephant is depending on his own strength. But against the river, his strength is infinitely small. But the tiny little fish, weak and helpless as it is, has learned how to take shelter of the river. Therefore, free. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivihi Shuguna Mayi Mama Maya Duratiya. That this material nature, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is undefeatable. It's very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders to me, one who takes shelter of me with humility and devotion, he can easily cross over it. Sometimes it is said that this material existence is like a blazing fire. Samsara dava nalalita loka. It is like a blazing fire. And Maya is constantly trying to allure us into the heart of this blazing fire. She does not reveal to you the nature of this fire until you are completely trapped in her phenomenal existence. She makes it appear to be a very nice place. There's a story in the Srimad Bhagavatam how when Lord Krishna was herding the cows in Sri Vrindavan, there were beautiful, fresh, delicious grasses that were attracting the cows and the calves. And being attracted by these grasses, The cows and calves were going deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest. And Krishna and his cowherd boys, they were wondering, where have they gone? Where is our cows? So they go in deeper, deeper into the forest to search for them. And all of a sudden, when they found them, a blazing fire began to roar. This fire, its flames were literally reaching the sky, and it surrounded them on all four sides. They were just little boys, helpless cows. See, this is Maya's trick. She allures you. As devotees, the first thing she'll try to do is allure you through sense gratification away from the protection of Krishna. With nice, apparent, fresh grasses. Here is some nice money. Here is some nice man or woman. Here is some nice position. Here is a nice, comfortable situation. She's alluring us with these fresh grasses. And then, before we know it, we find ourselves in the middle of an unquenchable fire, which is simply meant to devour us. So in that condition, the cows and the cowherd boys, they had nothing to do except just turn to Krishna. It is said they turned to Krishna as a dying man looks at a picture of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And with heart full of devotion, they took shelter of his lotus feet. Krishna, please save us. Otherwise, we are finished. And at that time, Krishna, casting his merciful glance upon them, he opened his mouth and inhaled. And when he inhaled, the whole fire was devoured. And in this way, he protected them. Factually, this is the situation of every one of us. We are all in that fire. And we are all about to be consumed. By the force of time, Krishna is devouring everything like a raging fire. But if we turn to Krishna with that helpless dependence of the cowherd boys, then we too can easily be saved from this burning fire of material existence. But Maya, she is very clever, and she's very powerful. One time Srila Prabhupada said that Maya was as powerful as Krishna, because she is Krishna's energy. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. But she is working under his direction. So, devotional service, spiritual life, is like a battle against Maya. And you have to understand the strengths of your enemy. And you have to understand the weaknesses of your enemy. And believe me, Maya knows our strengths, and she knows our weaknesses, inside and out, from top to bottom. She knows everything about you. There's nothing she does not know. And she knows just where you're vulnerable, and that is where she will strike you. Just like in the boxing arena, the two opponents are smashing each other with their fists. And as soon as they see some blood, they realize, he's vulnerable right there. And practically every punch from then on is right toward that area where it's bleeding. Knowing that when something's vulnerable, you just zero in, center on that, concentrate on that, and soon your opponent is finished. So Maya's like this. She knows exactly where we are vulnerable, where we are weak. Sometimes we talk about coming in like a needle and out like a plow. Prabhupada used to tell us in preaching, sometimes you have to go in like a needle and out like a plow. You come in very subtle and gentle, and then you go out and destroy all the material conceptions and make Krishna supreme. Well, somehow or other, Maya also knows this technique. She will come in like a needle, and if you let her in, before too long, you will find that she has come out like a plow. Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord, is like a thief trying to break into your house. And you have many treasures in your house, and that treasure is your devotion to Krishna, your faith in Krishna. And Maya is constantly trying to steal it. And your senses are like the windows and doors. If you leave any one of them open, that thief will somehow or other sneak in and steal everything away. For the gross materialist, they just leave their front door wide open and go out, right? And Maya, the robber, the thief, she just walks in, takes everything away, and walks out. No problem, right? But for a devotee, it's not so easy. For a devotee, sometimes Maya has to find some little back door or some little window and creep in and hide in the basement. And wait till you're just sleeping or inattentive, and then, very secretly, you don't even know she's there, but you wake up one morning and everything's gone. Maya is grosser than the grossest and subtler than the subtlest. And she knows exactly how to get you. Of this there is no doubt. Maya only has one weakness. We have hundreds of millions of weaknesses, but Maya only has one weakness. And that is that she is also surrendered to Krishna. And when Krishna is present within our heart, when Krishna is present within our mind, she cannot enter. So that is our only hope. Here Prahlad Maharaj is describing the position of a person who is attached to his sense gratification. That he's constantly being dragged by the illusory energy in the form of the objects of the senses. Krishna says in Gita, Indriyanam hi charatam yanmano nabadiyate tadasya harati pragya vayo navami vandas. As a boat on the river is swept away by strong winds, even one of the senses on which the mind focuses will carry away a man's intelligence. It is described that there are various animals, and each particular species of life has a particular type of sense gratification that they're very attracted to. And therefore, a hunter knows exactly how to catch that particular animal by simply tempting them with that particular type of sense gratification. It is said that the moth is very attracted to seeing beautiful things. Sometimes when it is in the summer at night and the window is closed and the light is on, the moth is so attracted to that light that he'd just do anything to get in the room. Sometimes that light is a candle, a burning fire. And the moth, he's just banging against the window, going back and flying as hard as he could into the window, trying to break through it to get to that light, that fire. Do anything. So many austerities, smashing against the window. And somehow or other, when he gets through, it is his great victory, it is great pleasure to just dive into the fire, only to find that he is burned to ashes. So the moth is destroyed simply by the influence of that sense that he is most finding pleasure in. Similarly, the method of catching elephants. How do you catch an elephant? They're so powerful. In the old days, they didn't have those big elephant guns. How does a little man catch an elephant? Very simple. Elephants are very attracted to sex life. This particular sense is very strong. So what they do is they take a female elephant and put her next to a big ditch in the ground. And the male elephant sees this female elephant and thinks, oh, how nice. The sense of touch. And he begins to try to have nice pleasure with this female elephant. And then she is trained to push him into the ditch. And he's helplessly trapped. The deer is very attracted to sweet music. So the hunter plays the flute. And the deers, although they are well hidden in the forest, they come right before the hunter, only to be trapped and killed by their desire to find pleasure in hearing. They are conquered. And it is said that the bee is very attracted to the sense of smell. So the bee goes into certain types of flower that smells very sweet. And then that flower closes around them and traps them. They can never get out. And the fish has a very uncontrollable tongue. And if you want to catch a fish, you just get a nice little worm or a smaller type of fish. And when the fish sees it, thinking how delicious. And the fish goes running, chasing after the bait. And by the influence of his uncontrolled tongue, he's caught by the hook of the fisherman and trapped. So in this way, if we allow any one of our five senses or the mind to lead us towards sense gratification, Maya will trap us. She will conquer us. It is just a matter of time. Therefore, a devotee of the Lord must always be very careful and very strict to constantly keep the senses engaged in positive spiritual activities. Sarva padiva niramuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktarucha. That if the senses are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord of the senses, then they become purified rather than becoming entangled in bondage. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, work done as sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, any activity, any thought that you perform in your life will only entangle you further in the web of bondage and suffering and illusion. Therefore, the duty of the sadhu and the guru is to make sure that the disciples are fully engaged in Krishna's service. Because any sense that is not engaged in Krishna's service will inevitably be carried away by Maya. Because we are pleasure-seeking entities. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, the most difficult of all the senses to control is the tongue. It is said if you can control the tongue, automatically all the other senses will be under your control. And if you cannot control your tongue, it is utterly impossible to control any of the other senses. So how to control the tongue? The tongue is very greedy. Jive. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, the tongue is very greedy. Loba. Therefore, its two functions of tasting and vibrating must constantly be filled with Krishna. We eat only spiritually sanctified foodstuffs, not too much and not too little. In this way, the sense of taste is fully under control. And we never talk mundane subject matters which are not conducive to our spiritual advancement. This is factually the utterly worst thing a devotee can do. Prajalpa. Rupa Goswami describes this, discussing prajalpa, or non-spiritual subject matters, is the basic principle for falling down. Because mundane subjects completely strip away from us the propensity for service to God. And it is impossible for anyone speaking nonsense subject matters to control his other senses for any period of time. It is not possible. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes tell us that when someone talks all nonsense, sometimes his guru makes him follow a vow of moan or silence, that don't say anything for the rest of your life. In India, there are such moni babas. They have little, usually they don't have any money. They find a little piece of a blackboard with jagged edges, and they find a piece of chalk. And if they want to talk, they just start writing. It's usually all nonsense. But they're not allowed to talk. But actually, the perfection of silence is to vibrate the pure sound of the name and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we can always keep our tongue filled with the praise of the Lord and His devotees, then we can understand, by the mercy of God, all our other senses will naturally be under control. And this is the basic principle of spiritual life in this age of Kali. To keep our tongue filled with the nectar of the holy name of God. It is described in the Brihadnaradiya Purana, Haranama Haranama Haraname Vakevalam Kalona Stevana Stevana Steva Gatiranjata. That in this age of Kali, the process of always keeping our tongue filled with the holy name of Krishna is the only means of purification and deliverance. So, it is a very simple formula. It only requires a very sincere and earnest endeavor. Krishna says in the Gita that for his devotee, he preserves what he has and carries what he lacks. If we simply endeavor in this way, by keeping saintly association and always hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord with great determination, that it is certain by the mercy of the Lord, we will overcome all of the hundreds and trillions of obstacles that Maya puts before us in our life, and we can attain the supreme destination of pure devotion unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Thank you very much.